Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Everybody say,
glory to the Lamb.
We sing
glory, glory to the Lamb.
We give all
glory
to the Lamb.
To the Lamb.
Yes. We sing
glory,
glory to the
to
Lamb.
To the Lamb.
This is why. For He is
now
and amazing. Forever is He. And He will reign forever. Holy, 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 holy is He. So together let's sing glory to the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Father,
hallelujah.
We sing tonight
glory,
glory to the Lamb. All the
glory
to the Lamb. Jesus is His name. We give
glory,
glory to the Lamb.
To the Lamb.
For He is
now.
He's the beginning.
Okay.
And He is the end.
Forever
He remains. And He will reign forever. With all power and authority.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah, Jesus Christ. We give him glory for all that he has done, because he's the one that was sinless, yet he became sin that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. 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 We owe everything to him. There's nothing that we have. We owe him everything. Our very life, our very being. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to the Lamb who was slain. He was led to the shears and to the people who had executed the lambs, and he didn't say a mumbling word. Hallelujah. No God was found in his mouth. He was upon them. But he prayed, he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Glory to the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And how does he take sins of the world? He shed his precious blood, the blood that was accepted in heaven as an atonement for our life, for our sin. And because of him, the Lord God gave us the power to become children of God, even to them that believe. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos of The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle, your host for this evening here on Blog Talk Radio. And you could call us at 418-5944. Press number 1 to speak, to be connected to the studio. And we would encourage you to and invite your family, friends, and here to Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. We are studying on our Bible study, What's Next? And we got into the Bema Seat. We did a little bit of part 1 last week. Today we're going to do part 2, and I believe we have a part 3. Glory to the Lamb of God. Let me give you a disclaimer and a little bit of itinerary of the church. Disclaimer is that the songs that we play on this radio station, they do not belong to Pastor Ramos. They do not belong to the church, The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle. They do not belong to Blog Talk Radio individuals at all. It belongs to the individuals who sang this song and produced the songs. Glory be to the Lord. Glory be to the Lamb. And because we bought the original CDs and DVDs, in there we have permission to copy and use the songs that are there. And today we heard to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And that is that every Sunday at 7 p.m., we have the Bible mystery, what we call the Bible mystery. We read a little bit of the scriptures. We ask a question. And if you come up with the correct answer, the church will mail you out a beautiful, colorful, accordion-style pamphlet of the tabernacle. It talks about the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, the sacrifices in the tabernacle, the garments of the high priest. Glory be to the Lord. And you know, I would encourage you to put it in your Bible. And when you go out and you have an appointment and you're waiting to be called, you could take it out and study and learn about the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle was a portable tabernacle. It was also known as a tent of meetings, where Moses presented Aaron and his sons as the high priests. Glory be to the Lord. And the reason we say is a temporary structure is because every time that the cloud by day moved, they would disassemble the tabernacle and carry it to the next location, wherever the cloud directed them. When it stopped, they would once again put the tabernacle together, and they will continue their sacrifices, and they will continue to speak to the Lord, because at that time, God used to speak to them from the mercy seat. He used to speak to Moses on the mercy seat. Glory be to the Lord. have Shekinah glory come down and be upon them. Glory be to the Lord. Glory to the Lamb. So it's a good pamphlet. It's something functional that you could use it and learn about the tabernacle. Glory be to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. That's on Sundays, Bible Mysteries. Tuesdays at 7 p.m., we have intercessory prayer, where we're praying for the peace of Jerusalem, we're praying for self, we're praying for the family, the government, vice president, the congressmen, the senators, the governors, the mayors, and the community leaders. We're praying for marriages, we're praying for families, and we're praying for children. We're praying for the churches. There's a lot of avenues that we could take as we pray for this individual. Join us in our prayer. We would divvy up the subjects that we have there to pray for. Hallelujah. After Tuesday, on Thursdays at 7 p.m. like today, we have Bible study. The topic that we're studying, what's next? What's next is for the church? What's next is we expecting to happen? We as pre-millennium, pre-millennium, and you think it's the next one? I'm giving you an opportunity. What's next? What's next that's going to happen? I'll give you a little hint. You got the four horsemen coming. This is, you got 144 witnesses. You have the little horn, the white horses, pre-tribulational. So we are pre-millennium, pre-tribulational. And we have an imminent expectation of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came, one, as a suffering servant. The Jewish people, they're expecting Messiah, Ben Joseph, and our Messiah, Jesus Christ, fulfilled that. He fulfilled the law. And then when he comes back with his army from heaven and with the witnesses, with the angels, he will be like a lion of the tribe of Judah. He will be conquering, hallelujah, setting up his kingdom here on earth. So he'll be like Mashiach ben David. He was a warrior. He'll be a warrior. So we have an imminent expectation that Christ is coming back. First, he's going to come to the clouds to call his bride up. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we that remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Forever to be with the Lord. We're going to have a changed body, glorified body. We're going to be just like him. We're going to recognize him because we're going to be just like him. He's going to take us to his Father's house where he's at. That way we could be there also. And we're going to go in now the Bema seat. We're going to have the set of meal. We're going to be part of the marriage of the Lamb. And then we're going to come back to rescue the remnant of Israel. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we have an imminent expectation of the coming of the Lord. So we're studying what's next. And we are looking at different topics. One of the topics that we're dealing with right now is the Bema Seat. We talked about a little bit about the rapture, pre-tribulational, mid-tribulational, post-tribulational. You have people that believe in the pre-tribulation, like myself. You have people that believe in the mid-tribulation, and you have people that believe in the post-tribulation. Another subject that we spoke about was the tribulation. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And another subject we spoke to our sister Lo, she spoke about faith. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Your word is to be praised. And so today we have part two of the Bema Seat. What I like to do for you, first of all, if you look at your computer or your laptop or your tablet, you're going to see four different areas regarding the judgment seat of Christ or the Bema Seat that we're going to be describing as we read. Number one is 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. I'll read that for you. It says, "For we all must appear before judgment seat of Christ," that's the Bema Seat, "that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it's the good or bad." Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So that's 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. What is the Bema Seat? Well, let me bring it here so you could understand what the Bema Seat is all about. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the Bema Seat, I'll share with you the background of the word Bema. Paul refers to the seat of judgment as the Bema, 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. We just read that. The Bema was a step or platform used in political or athletic arenas. Earthly Bemas were raised platforms on which rulers or judges sat when making speeches, Acts 12:21, or adjudicating cases, Acts 18:12-17. In the Isthmian Games, the forerunner to the Olympic Games, the umpire presided from a raised platform called the Bema, judgment seat. From there, he watched the games and awarded the winners. The New Testament uses a variety of judicial and athletic metaphors for the judgment seat. Hallelujah. So we see that, you know, if you look at a tennis match these days, the referee is sitting up high. Well, that's the Bema Seat. And we're going to discover something very interesting about the Bema Seat in a few minutes of judgment. What type of judgment is in the Bema Seat? Well, it's a righteous judgment. Let's read about judgment. The judgment seat of Christ will not determine whether we are believers. That is, whether we will enter heaven. Whoever appears before the judgment seat of Christ is already in heaven. Any person who has trusted in Jesus Christ for his salvation will never be condemned for his sins, as per Romans 8:1. Justification by faith results in peace with God through Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. Redemption forever accomplishes forgiveness and ensures reconciliation with a holy God. The punishment that everyone deserves was already borne by Jesus when he shed his blood and died on the cross. He was made to be sin with our sin, so we could be made righteous with his righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Therefore, sin and its relationship to eternal punishment will not be evaluated at the judgment seat of Christ. The New Testament, who will be judged at the Christ. So it's gonna take us to the fourth question. Is this for believers or non-believers? Let's read on. First, only believers will be judged at the Bema Seat, right? Every passage that directly mentions or indirectly alludes to the Bema assumes that those who will be judged will be believers. Second, every believer will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says we must all appear, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Finally, this judgment is not optional. Every believer must appear for judgment. The judgment is obligatory and unavoidable. So believers are wise to be ready for such an evaluation. Glory be to the Lord. So you heard what it says. Every believer, that's all of us, brothers and sisters, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, will come and go before the judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema Seat, to be judged for the good or the evil that we have done after we've been saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So please understand, when we go to the judgment seat, it's not to be judged whether or not we are saved. We are saved already. And we the Bema Seat, it takes place in heaven. So that's after the rapture. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Before we go on, let's read some of the scripture. Just one chapter today, and then next week we're going to read a different one. We're going to go into the book of Romans, and we're going to read in its entirety chapter 14 and see what Paul says to us, what the Holy Spirit says to us in the writings. The Word of God says this, "Him that is weak in faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another, esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he does not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and give God thanks. For none of us living to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block on occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy mess, with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitable? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not thy your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of them, of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it's evil for the man who eateth. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, then, whether by brother stumble, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the things which he alloweth. And he that doubt is damned if he eat, because he eats not of faith. For whatever is not of faith is sin. Glory to the Lamb of God. That's the reading for this week. Next week, we're going to read something else, and it all has pertaining to the Bema Seat. Let's go on to study a little bit more of the Bema Seat, and we're going to talk about the quality of the Bema Seat. Quality. Christ tests the genuineness or character of believers' work. Paul wrote that the fire of God's judgment will test the quality of each man's work, 1 Corinthians 3:13. The imagery of gold, silver, and precious stones, as opposed to wood, hay, and stubble, reveals that the quality of the work themselves will be tested. What distinguishes one from the other is in its eternal value. Works that have no eternal significance do not merit eternal recognition. In Paul's illustration, an adequate foundation, the quality of the material, and the proper methods of building are the symbolic components for quality work for God. Works will be judged to be either good or bad. The Greek agathos or paleos at the judgment seat. So brothers and sisters, quality of work, what we have to understand is, I'll give you an example. Suppose you have someone who they have no food to eat. They have no clothing to change. They have no home. They're sleeping in the streets. And they reach their hand out and ask you as you pass by, do you have a quarter? Do you have a dollar? Do you have something for them so they could eat? In the verses that we studied just now, the quality of our work, when you give something to that person. Remember what Hebrews 13 says, that we sometimes entertain angels unaware. That person could be an angel manifesting himself like a poor person, and God is testing you, your faithfulness, your quality of your faith. James said, without works, faith is dead. So if you do something to help another, but you do it grudgingly, you do it not from a pure heart, then your works there, the quality of your works is not good. We're going to read that in a little while. So, but you want to be as Christ. Christ not only supplied the need, the physical need, but he supplied the spiritual need as well. Those are the good works that the Bible talks about that we should be doing. We don't want to lose our reward. Everything that we do for the Lord should be like gold, silver, and bronze. They should not be like wood, hay, or stubble. Because those things are going to be burned. The Bible says our work will be tested by fire. So if your works are pure from your heart, and they're like gold to God or silver or bronze, well, these metals, they don't waste away. They get purified through the fire. But wood, hay, and stubble will burn away. You get the smoke, you get the ashes, you know. So if you do something not a pure heart, you're not satisfying nobody. Maybe you gave the dollar to them for so they could eat something, and then you walk away thinking you did something great, but in reality you didn't do nothing great because you did it out of a not a pure heart. You did it out of a grudging heart. You felt needed to do something for this individual, but the Bible said that we are to do things not expecting anything in return. Because we don't know what God is, and we are away from poverty. But if it wasn't for God, we would be in similar circumstances. Your quality of work should speak for itself. The Bible says that people should see your works and glorify God. So when you help somebody else and you do it out of a pure heart, out of the kindness of your heart, people will be drawn by the Holy Spirit to God. You know, I watched the and it started with the Angels program, and they have a program called Pay It Forward. And I prayed about it and Pay It Forward. Why? Because this girl, they cannot afford to see the movie in the theaters. So Paying It Forward makes it available to those that are not able to see it. Theaters, they're able to see it. They're able to go free. They could claim the ticket free. They could see it on the cell phone. They could see it on TV. They could go to the theaters and already pay it forward. And I would encourage you also, it doesn't have to be the Chosen series, but it could be anything. Pay it forward. You give it to the Lord. You say, Lord, this is for the next individual. I don't know who it is, but when you bring me to that individual, Lord God, and that individual talks to me, we're going to celebrate. We're going to worship you in spirit and truth. We're going to do the right thing. The Bible says, I believe it's in James as well, this is that we take care of the widows, we take care of the orphans, we take care of the needy. There's a pastor, Sarko, S-A-R-K-A-R, and his wife, Evangelist Sarko, they're in Bangladesh. And I get their pictures and I get their words. And, you know, they're taking care of the widows. They're taking care of the orphans in Bangladesh, an Islamic nation. They do it in the camps of the trees, hidden away because, you know, Islam, but they're not afraid. They have crisis with them. And I'm not able to go over there, but I support them. From the bottom of my heart, from a pure heart, whatever the Lord provides to me, I provide forward. I don't keep it. I pay it forward. You know, they send me pictures of the children, the women's eating, the man eating some of the food they provide, and you know, with the support that we send them, they're able to buy these foods for them. They're able to provide this milk for them. So do, my brothers and sisters, do it as a, like a gold, silver, or bronze unto the Lord. Do it with a pure heart. Do it with your love. God is love, and he shed himself unto us, and he lives within us. Don't do it grudgingly. Don't do it because of necessity. It'll be like wood, hay, and stubble. It'll be burned up in fire. You can't claim it. You can't claim it at all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go on. Let's read a little bit about the good works. Good works in the Greek is agathos. Agathos, A-G-A-T-H-O-S. Agathos. Good works may be defined as those that have been manifested as having wrought in God, John 3:21. This may also be categorized as work of faith, 1 Thessalonians 1:3. As defined by God, good works are designed by, designated by gold, silver, and precious stone. They are produced by a believer who is walking in fellowship with God and who is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Good works are also called the fruits of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Power to produce good works comes directly from God, not from within man, Philippians 2:13. So, you know, you don't want to be a hypocrite. You don't want to be one who is prideful. You know, every time that you assist someone, you want to go around and you want to pat yourself in the back or look what I've done. Or you want others to say to others, look what he has done. But as we read in the scriptures, everything, all good works come from God, the God of lights, comes from heaven. He's the one that touches our spirit through the spirit to do the good works that we may manifest God's love on this earth. And when you give something to someone because of their need, don't expect the return. Don't expect the return. Jesus said it this way to his followers and to the priests. He says, Don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. Now that's a harsh saying, because most of the time when we do things in this world, we use both of our hands. But what it's trying to tell us and teach us is that you don't have to boast of yourself. Nobody needs to know the things that you do for others. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, whatever you do in secret, God will bless you openly. So those are the good works that God wants us to do. He don't want us to keep it for ourselves and say, oh, look what I've done. Let's look at the reverse. Let's look at bad works and make a comparison. Because remember, Jesus told the disciples, by their fruit you shall know them. So if you're a true believer, you're going to have good works. You're not going to have bad works. But let's look at bad works. Does it mean that the person is not saved? No. But what it means is the person needs to grow up more spiritually. He has to deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow Jesus. And sometimes doing that takes good work. We don't want to do bad work. So when we go forward, it's for us to do good works. Let's look at bad works, bad deeds. Paulios, P-H-A-U-L-O-S. Paulios. Bad deeds are worthless in the sight of God. This could be called dead works or works of the flesh. The danger of producing works of the flesh is that the believer's labor is in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58. The believer's labor is empty. 1 Timothy 6:20. 2 Timothy 2:16. And the believer's labor is worthless. Galatians 4:9. Titus 3:9. And James 1:26. Bad works do not measure up to the standard and therefore are characterized as wood, hay, and stubble, commodities of little worth or durability. These are deeds produced in the energy of the flesh. Apart from the power of the Spirit, bad works also from wrong motives. You know, sometimes you see someone who's in need and you want people to pat you on your back. That's a bad motive why you do certain things. And you go forward and you give them money. And, you know, for a little time, you satisfy their need. And they thank you and they bless you. But God knows your heart. The Bible says, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. So everything that we do, brothers and sisters, is not for our gain. It's for the glory of God our Father. Everything that we do. Let it not be said that you was left behind because you allow pride to sneak into your life. Pride, remember, is sin. The Bible says God draws close to the humble, departs himself from the proud. So you want a close relationship with God, we have to remain humble. We cannot be proud, because that means that the works that we do, the things that we do, it's from the flesh. And we're not going to get rewarded for that, for those bad works. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's read a little bit about the motivation. We got about 15 minutes to go. Don't forget, you could invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-22. Press number 1 to be connected with the studio. Glory. And if you have a testimony, a question, or a comment, you're welcome. You could also write the church at WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. That's WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. You could write the church there and you will get a response. If you'd like to speak to the pastor after the program is over at 8 o'clock, you could call 772-626-3178. That's a Florida number, and we're gladly to pick it up, and we have a conversation, and we'll pray. Glory be to the Lord. We want to thank God for those in Blog Talk Radio. They're behind the scenes. We don't see them. We don't hear them. Glory. The only time that make contact with them is through the chat. All the questions and answers that they have. But they're very silent. And that's the way God is. God is very silent. Yet, the things that he speaks to us is very loud and clear. All you have to do is listen. Pay attention to what God has for you. You would live this life. You would do his will. And that's what God once, you know, when they came to Jesus and they said to Jesus, you know, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, they're outside. And he said, who's my mother? Who's my sister? Who's my brother? And then he gave the answer. He says, but those that do the will of my Father, they are my family. They are my mother, my brothers, my sisters. So let's do everything to the glory of God the Father. I mean, we heard the story in the beginning. Glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at the motivation to some people. That'll be the last subject before we close out for today. And then we'll go on. Motivation. The motivation for our works would always be revealed at the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus said, there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Luke 12, 2 and 3. Purposes give birth to behavior. Spiritual motivations of the heart validates or invalidates the actions of one's life. An example from the Sermon on the Mount will illustrate the principle of motivation. Jesus said, what appear to be two contradictory statements. On the one hand, he exhorted the believers to let their life shine as light in order to be seen by others and will glorify their Father in heaven, Matthew 5 and 16. On the other hand, Jesus taught that activities such as prayer, offerings for the poor, and fasting should be done in secret to be seen by God alone and not before others, lest one lose his reward in heaven, Matthew 6, 1-21. Believers do not lose eternal rewards when other people see their good deeds, but they lose rewards when they do their works so that others may see them. 1 Corinthians 4 and 5 says that the hidden counsel of the heart will be. What Jesus thinks about our works is more important than what anyone else thinks. Revelation 2:23 reminds us that God searches both the minds and the hearts in order to our reward. Glory to the Lamb. So we have good works. We have bad works. We have motivation. Hallelujah. And we have the quality of work. And we touch a little bit on it like that. Next week, we're going to do part three. And that should be the ending for the Bema Seat. And then we're going to go on to another subject. Glory be to the Lamb. Hallelujah. The subject is going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. Glory be to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. So if you have any questions, you could call us here on Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. Number one, to be connected to the studio. We would encourage you and invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here. We have about 9 minutes to go before we finish, so we have time for questions and answers. One of the questions that I have that sparks an interest in my heart, and that is, how is it that Jesus determines who goes to the white, to the Bema Seat? The answer is quite simple, but it's something that I must say out there, because I want you to learn what the Word of God says. The believer's judgment, Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ. Glory be to the Lord. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What is a Bema Seat? Remember, it's a high platform. Like watching a tennis court, the referee sitting very high so see both players, glory be. What type of judgment? It's a righteous judgment. The reason we know it's a righteous judgment is, you know, we, the Bible says, were enemies of God in our minds through wicked works. But Jesus Christ became sin that we may become the righteousness of God in him. He paid the price for our redemption. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So Christ had to come and take our human flesh, and he was crucified. He was buried, but on the third day, he rose again. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If we were here in the week of the Passion Week, right now we will be celebrating the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, because today is Thursday, and it comes right after the Passover. The Passover was Nisan 14, and at that Passion Week, that week, Nisan 14 fell on us Tuesday. He died about 12 o'clock or 3 o'clock, and then he was taken off the cross before the sun set. He was buried. Because what happened when the sun set is the beginning of the 15th of Nisan, and that was the celebration of the High Holy Sabbath day, which was the Unleavened Bread Sabbath day. So he was buried, and 3 days night, Thursdays to Fridays 1, Friday to Saturdays 2, Saturday to Sundays 3. Glory be to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now the Jewish people, you know, they go around and they tell people any part of the whole day is considered the whole day. And the Catholic Church went along with it. And so what they say is that Jesus died on a Friday, Good Friday, and we celebrate Good Friday, they say, and they eat fish instead of flesh. But if you count 3 nights and 3 days, like Jesus said he would be in the earth, like Jonah was in the belly of the beast, Friday to Sunday, it's not 3 nights and 3 days. Oh, it's 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But it's not the 24 hours that Jesus is talking about. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So if we was in that Passion Week, today being Thursday, we would be celebrating the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And unleavened represents sin. So they celebrate these days of the unleavened. There's no sin. And that's what happened. Christ became sin for us, and we became the righteousness of God. So in the eyes of God, we were sinless. And we enter into the rest. He is our Sabbath. You know, some people celebrate Sabbath on one day, on one particular day. But Christ Jesus, he is our Sabbath. We enter into rest. The rest, the Bible talks about, we enter into rest because we're not working anymore. We're not doing anything right now to satisfy the requirements for sin. It has been paid for by the blood of the Lamb. Glory be to the Lord. So if there's a Jewish brother or sister out there who's listening, realizing, yes, we keep the Sabbath. We keep the Sabbath every day, not just one day of the week. Because what if you call home on a Tuesday and you don't make it to the Sabbath? Would you not go to heaven? No. So we celebrate the Sabbath every day. Every day we celebrate the Sabbath. Every day we want God to cleanse us and wash us from our sins, like the Israelites washing the water before they ascended in Mount Sinai. Hallelujah. So let us be cleansed. Let us be holy. Let us be righteous. Let us have joy. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So it's a righteous judgment. Is deceit The Bema Seat, is it for believers or non-believers? Well, since the Bema Seat is in heaven, right there, it'll tell you that the Bema Seat is just for believers. It's not for just for believers. We're going to be judged for the works we have done, whether they're good or bad. And that's how some of the works that we do is gold, silver, and bronze, and they'll last forever because we did it from a sincere heart. Others, we did it grudgingly, out of compulsion, necessity, and it's like hay, wood, and stubble, and they burn up in the fire. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we love God because he first loved us. You know, he told Abraham, all nations will be blessed because of you. So he didn't break that covenant. You know, part blindness and the veil have come to Israel to allow the Gentile nations to be part of that promise that God gave to Abraham. In the prophets, it says that a great light shine in the Gentiles. And that the great light is Jesus. He is the light of the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And whether you want to believe it or not, we all have gone to a blood transfusion. That talks to my brothers and sisters, those that are in Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't allow the receiving of blood because, you know, they take the scripture out of context, the leaders do, talking about the life is in the blood, and if you eat the blood, you shall die. They take it out of context. But the Word of God tells us that Christ shed his precious blood, and if we eat his body and drink his blood, we are part of him. Glory to the Lord. So we had a blood transfusion already. Thank you, Lord. So we got about less than a minute to go. I want to say that the Lord loves you very much. He cares for you. He wants you to do well. He wants you to study the word. He wants you to pray and listen, that he communicate with you. Glory to the Lord. He's able to prosper you in the way you go. Not the prosperity preaching that you hear on television by the televangelist. Prosperity because you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your Savior. Call on to him and he would answer you. And until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen and amen. We'll see you on Sunday at 7 p.m. for the Bible mystery. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.